Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here, and we'll also be talking to three poets who are reading a poem in advance of a reading that's coming up this weekend. Right now, I would like to welcome Bill Hutcherson. He's with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and it's Animal Friday. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. How are you?
I'm just dandy. How are you?
Good. Here we are on the Somethingth Friday of the month.
Yes, the Somethingth Friday of the month. And the weather is finally getting nice.
It is. It's been lovely this morning. I sat outside on the patio this morning, sipping my coffee, thinking about the world and being very, very relaxed this morning. It was a good way to start the day.
Were there dogs jumping all over you and licking you?
No, the little blind dog was sitting in my lap snoring very, very loudly, as is his wont. And the new dog, or the three-legged Doberman, known as the Dingo, was just laying on his bed next to me, watching the birds out in the trees, very happy.
And saying, if I had four legs instead of three, I might have one of those birds in my stomach.
I'd be chasing them down. And I'm seeing all the blossoms. Both my apple tree and my apricot tree are blossoming. And it is a magnificent bouquet of smells and sights out there.
So what's happening at the animal shelter?
A whole mess of things. It's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up. So catch up we will.
A mess of things. That's a metaphor that is
Should
apt.
I say a lot of things instead?
Yeah, I think
a
so.
Lot of things. Many things. A mess as in many. The first thing I want to talk about is the shelter getting tough. We're very nice people out there on the whole. But one of the issues that we face constantly is overpopulation, unwanted puppies and kittens, and frankly, one of the things that is most difficult to bear are the people that just don't seem to give a hoot about it. I had a situation week before last where a family was coming to reclaim their unaltered male pit bull. Sweet enough dog, nice guy, been picked up a couple of times. We offer a special deal at the shelter. If your animal's been picked up and he's unaltered, we have what we call our second chance package. For $75, you can have your animal altered, vaccinated, microchipped, licensed, and ready to go, street legal, out the door.
Oh, my God.
That is an unbelievably cheap deal.
That is an unbelievable deal.
You price any of these things out. I mean, it's $40 minimum at a vet to get your animal microchipped alone, much less a spay-neuter surgery.
Much less spayed or neutered, yeah.
Plus vaccinations, plus the license. So this is a really good deal. And the reason we make it so inexpensive, I mean, we really have to subsidize this cost. The reason we make it so inexpensive is because we want to make it very easy for people to do the right thing. So these folks come in to pick up their male pit bull, and they tell me this really sad story about how they don't have any money, and they only have the $75, and can't I just give them their dog back? I said, absolutely, I can give you your dog back, but we need to go through this second chance package. And they said to me very bluntly, well, this dog is useless to us if he's altered. We're going to breed this dog, and we want to sell the puppies. And I asked, do you have a breeder's permit?
Yeah, there's a great market for pit bulls. They're so expensive because they're so rare.
So plentiful. Yes, indeed. The market bears the rarity. So I talked to them, and I said, you know, well, I can send this dog home with you. You know, because he clearly loves you guys. He likes being around the family. But it doesn't matter to them, because unless they're able to breed him, they're useless. And they tell me again and again that they only have the $75. And I said, I'm sorry, I just absolutely cannot let this dog go out unaltered. It is counter to every single thing that is, it is what I believe in and the mission of the shelter. And then miraculously, they ponied up the other couple $100 worth of fines and fees that they have to pay if they don't take the second chance package. And the dog left unaltered and is out there somewhere breeding. No breeder's permit, which is a requirement in the city. No nothing. So we have implemented a new fee. We call it our unaltered impoundment fee. We want to make it very, very difficult for people who are either not going to get a breeder's permit or not going to have their animal altered to do that. Backyard breeders are really a problem in our community. The hoarding case that we just dealt with was a backyard breeder spun wildly out of control.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Well, she was breeding purebred dogs?
She was breeding purebred dogs, Chihuahuas, Landseers, and Sharpeys, and making money off the back of them. It was a little dog factory. It was a backyard local puppy mill. And that's really something that when you work in animal welfare and see the sheer number of unwanted animals that is just impossible to bear. So we are making it expensive for people to do the wrong thing and very inexpensive for people to do the right thing with this new unaltered impoundment fee. So please be aware in our community that our low-cost clinic makes it really easy to get spayed and neutered. If your animal gets picked up, the second chance package makes it really easy to get spayed and neutered. But if you are intending to be an unlicensed backyard breeder and to use your animal to make money off of, to capitalize on another living being in this way, we are going to charge you out the nose. And we're going to do it with absolute, our heads held absolutely high, because it is just the wrong thing to capitalize on another animal's life to make it essentially a baby-making factory and a nursing machine simply for profit. It's just wrong.
Well, and I mean, I think that it points to, there are so many problems that one group has that point to all the other problems that we have in our society, which is lack of, you know, properly paid employment, lack of services and things like that. People aren't doing that out of the joy of breeding their puppies. They're doing it to survive.
I don't actually agree with that. I think a lot of the time what we see are people who are doing it to make some extra money. It is very often, it is not the unemployed destitute. It's a lot of middle-class people who are working jobs who want a little extra money and see these animals as a way to make this money. Because you get a handsome little chihuahua and your neighbor has a little chihuahua and you want to breed them and split the profits for these puppies, that is a reason that is incompatible with being decent and kind to other creatures. And there are responsible breeders in our community who are very careful about the health and welfare of their animals, keeping the gene pool nice and deep, etc. And I have no enmity toward these folks at all. What I do feel very, very frustrated about are the folks who are trying to make an unnecessary buck by capitalizing on an animal who isn't able to make these choices for itself, who isn't able to advocate for itself. That's our responsibility as the caretakers of these animals to keep their best interests in mind. And keeping them pregnant all the time, making them have babies all the time. Some of these dogs, Chihuahuas, for example, often have very difficult pregnancies. And without adequate...
Especially if the father is a German Shepherd.
Which, frankly, it happens. It is sad but true. But even if the daddy is another Chihuahua, we have seen some really, really sad situations which are far too awful and depressing to go into on the radio. But these animals suffer greatly with care that is incompatible with their birthing needs.
So basically, in order to be a breeder, you really have to know how to be a breeder. It's not enough to just let nature take its course.
It is absolutely not enough to let nature take its course. Nature does what nature does, and there are lots of animals in the wild who have difficult pregnancies, etc. But these are not wild animals. These are animals who have been domesticated for a long time. Breeds like Chihuahuas or Bulldogs. We had some Bulldogs in recently that were part of a puppy mill. Because of the way their bodies have been shaped, which is essentially a massive deformity, their pregnancies are incredibly difficult. They, without a cesarean section, many of these breeds will die during giving birth to these puppies. And, you know, we're really just not talking about people trying to survive here and make money however they can. We're most of the time, almost all the animals that we see are people who are able to get by without doing this. And frankly, I mean, I hate to sound like a hard nose about this, but even if you are struggling to get by, capitalizing and taking advantage and what is essentially, to me, abusing the ability of another animal to be its own creature is simply not justified.
We're talking to Bill Hutchison from the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. I was walking my three little dogs the other day, and I was looking at the dachshund, and I was thinking, this is a genetically modified organism.
It absolutely is. I look at my pug sometimes, and I love this dog. I love this dog with all my heart. But there are moments that I think that the very existence of this breed is a little bit of a perversity. He has trouble breathing.
Yeah.
He can't be out for very long on a hot day, or he risks overheating and having a respiratory shutdown. I love that dog. But sometimes I look at what we have done for our own benefit, you know, to have an animal that
and
just
amusement.
Looks differently. It really is. And it is difficult to bear sometimes the things that we have done to animals to another species, as a conscious, heartful species that we have done this to other animals.
And we know for a fact that if we were to all vanish and be raptured or whatever the thing is, that
I suspect I may be left behind, Mary Charlotte, but don't tell anybody.
You know, I saw a thing on the internet the other day. There's actually a service. I'll have to look up what it's called. I can put it on my Facebook page. Where if you are afraid that you're going to get raptured and your pets are going to be left behind, you can pay $115 for 10 years, and they will come and rescue your pet. This is a service you sign up for.
I've heard of a similar service that will send emails to your friends and loved ones if you're raptured. In fact, recently saw a Law & Order episode, a captivating, ripped from the headlines Law & Order episode about the same thing.
This one was written up in Business Week. I think it's called earthboundpets.com, something like that. Anyway.
I'd like to think that my pets will be raptured before I am.
But if we are all, well, that would be nice. But if we are all raptured or disappeared or plague, war, pestilence, anything like that, and our dogs, our little dogs are left behind, they might last a day or two before they're eaten by wolves, coyotes, and bigger dogs.
The dogs that look more like wolves, I've long heard that the more closely resembling a wolf, the more likely an animal is to be able to survive. So the German Shepherds of the world, Dobermans, etc., that still have the long noses and the ears and the tall legs, etc., they'll survive longer. But indeed, your Dachshund, your Jack Russell, my pug, they're not going to make it in the long term without us. And the fact that their stewardship is in our hands, I have come over my years at the shelter to really understand the enormity of that responsibility. And it is... They are not a trifle. They are not a hobby. They are not something fun. They are actual lives with actual personalities. And when we recognize that responsibility, it very much changes the way we have to view them.
I think they're actually a lot like us. You know, if you put me out in the wild, I'd last about as long as my dachshund.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, over the years of working at the shelter, it's very hard for me to see human behavior as drastically different than dog behavior. You know, when I see, say, two people arguing, it's very hard for me sometimes not to see two dogs growling at each other and recognizing that body language that dogs do with each other to sort of say, hey, I'm friendly. Are you friendly? Yeah, I'm friendly. Let's be friends. We have some of the same cues, you know.
Or like, oh, no, here comes Blondie.
Exactly. Thankfully, neither Mary Charlotte nor I greet each other with a sniff in the butt, but we can tell as soon as we sit down at the table, we have this sort of instinctive feeling each other out. Where are we at today? How's the day going? Is one of us grumpy? And that's how we sort of navigate our social world. And the animals are not that wildly different. We often talk at the shelter about we must behave toward other people with the same kindness that we would show an animal. And if you wouldn't yell at a dog, then you can't yell at a person. It's just the way it is.
So, fees up the wazoo if you don't get your dog spayed or neutered.
Easy to do the right thing,
do
the wrong thing.
If you're one of these backyard breeders, what are you doing letting your dog out on the street all the time? I mean, that dog you were talking about has been picked up over and over.
It happens a lot, and I'd like to say that this is a rare exception, but frankly, it is much more common than anybody would like to think. I often imagine when we hear criticisms at the shelter that I desperately wish that folks could come and spend just a month working at the shelter to see the difficulty and the stories that our beloved staff is forced to deal with on a daily basis. And when you are in
these... And it's relentless.
It is relentless. It is relentless. And it's, you know, things get slightly better as this community makes a slow sea change, but it is relentless. The spring and summer months are right around the corner. We will be seeing, I guarantee you, laundry baskets and Rubbermaid baskets and milk crates with puppies and cats and kittens coming into the shelter. And many of the people bearing these baskets are going to be the same people we saw last year at this time. And that is part of the motivation for this fee, because I do not want to see those people dropping off what is to them simply litter, but is to us valuable lives at the shelter to make it somebody else's problem. There are 145,000 people, give or take, in the community we serve. There are about 45 of us at the shelter serving those people. This is a community issue, and we have to maintain a constant vigilance, all of us, not just the 45 people that this community supports employed at the shelter, but all of us have to work together to make this a better world. If we do not value the lives of these animals, then my God, how can we say that we value the lives of one another?
Bill Hutchison, we've got a few minutes left. What else is going on at the shelter?
Whole bunch of events coming up. I will run through them quickly. I urge you to check out our website for more information, www.sfhumanesociety.org. May 8th, we have our Pause for a Cause. It's a joint event with St. Vincent Hospital Foundation. It's a 5K walk. Is it a 5K? I think it's a 5K walk and fun run. It's a great time. Bring your dogs out to Alto Park. That's May 8th. You can register online now. Motoring for Mutts, our food drive and car show coming out on May 22nd. You can see the dozens of the coolest cars in New Mexico at the shelter. The only entrance fee to get your vehicle in is to fuel your trunk or the bed of your car, your back seat up with food, and bring it by. We are also doing...
And they all have sidecars for your dogs?
We had a motorcycle out there last year, a beautiful old Ural motorcycle with a sidecar that went. The sidecar came filled up with kibble. It was wonderful. And we're doing a great critter camp this year for kids. If your kids are between 9 and 13, we have an unbelievable array of hands-on animal activities this summer in July. Check out the website for more information on that. And our Big Brown Dog Program, which the most troubled population in Santa Fe are these large mixed-breed dogs that end up at the shelter.
Some of whom are unaltered.
Most of whom are unaltered, sadly. That program will be coming to an end on May 3rd. Is there 31 days in May?
Yes.
On May 31st, the funder has doubled the funding for that program where we not only alter the dog for free, but we give you $10 to do with as you wish. That's an unbelievable deal. That will be changing on May 31st. That program will no longer exist. There will be another program to take its place because this population needs help. But if you have been thinking about using this program and getting a 10 spot to boot, you have until May 31st to do it. Get in line and get on board.
And you can buy 10 of those little Taco Bell sandwiches.
Absolutely. Give two of them to your dog. You can eat the other 8. Although, frankly, as I look at my little paunch slowly expand based on fast food consumption, I cannot recommend that in good conscience.
I can't believe I just recommended fast food. Anyway, sorry.
Well, let's pretend you did it with deep irony.
Oh, yes. You're so right.
And as always, you can yes, better than I'd like to sometimes. No,
thanks
I don't even
lot.
Mean that. I don't know why I said that. It was a terrible thing to say. As always, you can see our adoptable animals on the website, sfhumanesociety.org. You can also see, I don't know if folks know this, but if you have lost your critter, you can browse our lost pets online if you navigate to the lost pets section of our website and see who's there.
I just did that the other night because a friend of mine lost her cat. I think in a move, they moved to a new house and the cat vanished at a certain point. And I was looking at all the lost dogs and cats and all the adoptable dogs and cats, and there's some beautiful dogs.
Really wonderful.
And cats.
I mean, it is a gorgeous place to take a look at what's there. It is not a replacement for coming in to make sure that your critter is not there, but if you see a potential match, then you know to swing by the shelter and take a gander at who we've got in our kennels.
A gander.
I like to use animal terms as much as possible.
Yes. Well, it's been my pride of lions to have you here.
Oh, I could murder a breakfast burrito. See, that's how many crows there are.
All right. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Hutchison is...
Who is an animal?
Bill Animal...
Proudly.
Bill, quote, animal, unquote, Hutchison...
That's right.
...is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. They are on the web, and their phone number is...
983-4309, website sfhumanesociety.org.
And we will see you in about a month.
I'll be here.
We're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll be talking to some poets. Please stay tuned. I'm very happy now to welcome poets Steve Counsell, Janet Eigner, and Linda Wittenberg. It's National Poetry Month, and this Sunday, the 18th of April at 3 o'clock, they're going to be participating in a free reading at the Wild Oats Community Room. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
So this is just a little quickie, as we call it, and we're going to let each one of you read a poem in advance of your reading.
Well, you know, the name of our presentation is Flower Language, and I'm stretching the flowers to a different sort of flower that's rather a universal and troubling flower right now. And so when I was living in a little village in a holler on the Mississippi River, we climbed up the cliff to see the fireworks, and this is about that. Through a stiff wind and ghost voices that call us from deep along the cliff to view the pyrotechnics from the Illinois side perch, St. Louis's long bank stretches by its unseen farm fields, boat slips. A saint's white statue glows on shore, her arm raised in met and unmet blessing. Along the silken Mississippi's drape, spitting the crescent moon's silver fire, soundless bursts flower the far shore. 10 invisible cities send up chemical bouquets, cheering this and every country's gunfire birth. Though breeze erases the rocket's whistle, each perchlorate lily, magnesium marigold, each sulfur salvia, arsenic daffodil, sweet, decorative, brief, each beautiful death reverberates war's phosphorescence. Here, the distant flak cannot yet curl our flesh.
Janet Eigner. And let's turn now to a poem by Steve Counsell, who, in addition to being a poet, is an artist and man of many talents, and his artwork will be, and all three of their books will be available in his artwork as well. Steve Counsell.
If you're lucky and you go to Abiquiu this time of year, sometimes you get fortunate enough to experience a miracle. And this is a poem about such a miracle. Cicada Spring. From El Monte Rojo to the Ojitos de los Gatos, the cicadas emerge, filling up the bloodied surge of this dead ocean with their singing, spilling out tonic chords against all the risen brides of resonant stone, breasts stroking from out the crimson sand. With the twisted bodies of Caliban, the cicada nymphs clear their inner tomb, thrumming memento mori from their empty gut, pulling free to climb the blue electrum sky. I too will emerge from the crimson brand of days, blush within these raw canyons, let fall my populace wakes in this red eroding wave, breathe out my hollowing with the rock in the chorus of the winds, and on the cicadas chirrup in the gale, songs that cut upon these vertical swells, the wind of sounding of lungs, louvering off clean, the breakers of boulders calving like glaciers into a silent backwater of dust. Cicadas sing out the strophic ruin and rain of young love, burnishing cellophane wings, pursing their mandibled lip, amorously rolling polysocketed eyes, and emboldening alien sonatas to a billion rounding maidenheads. I spy upon these wet young lives, knowing we drink in the same vascular seas. The cicada's pulse is as my own, obedient to the same tides. We wash clean away among the ragged rib-caged hills, wearing down like an antique argument. We that bury the dead and they that bury eggs and disappear to the sandy keep of resurrection. Broad canyons and proud coffins keep my blood and I their bone, and all the skins that hold must learn the catalogue of wear. Generations pass before their songs return, the piping of holy men and beggars, Madonnas and fretful tailors, palish to stop the rectory of false starts, chant themselves to find what here will ring and chime with each new green mirage of spring.
Steve Counsell. And now a poem by Linda Wittenberg.
This poem is the title of one of my books is taken from it, Dying Can Wait. It came from one day looking at a little Bavarian wooden carving that we have on a shelf in our living room that I'd never really studied before. It's a guitar player with his mouth open and his guitar held in a kind of depressed way with the neck down. Dying can wait. A wooden guitar player on the shelf holds his instrument down at the neck as if it is heavy, and he is weary, standing there forever mouth open, carved hand on the strings waiting to begin. If I could, I would breathe life into his stiff arms, set him strumming. I would reach out my finger like God and set free every wooden thing. People would pick up the phone to call home after all these years. Wallpaper the bathroom in flowers. Make love on Monday morning. Puritan preachers would tremble with praise. I would lead children in dance. Set every tight-lipped oboist free at last to play jazz. I would raise Van Gogh from the dead. Beseech him to paint, man, paint, for the world needs grieving sunflowers and crazed stars. Dying can wait. I would tell them what I know. You have to stifle the scolding voices of critics. Resist the urge to petrify. Even cut off your ear if you must. Little man on the shelf, sing that song your heart has been waiting to sing.
Linda Wittenberg. And these three poets, Linda Wittenberg, Janet Eigner, and Steve Counsell, will be reading on Sunday, this Sunday, the 18th of April, at 3 o'clock. It's part of the Writer's Read series called Flower Language, and it's at the Wild Oats Community Room. For more information, you can call 505-983-5333. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'm happy now to welcome Robert Knott and Rob DeWalt. They are with the Santa Fe New Mexican, our daily newspaper, the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday arts magazine in that glorious newspaper, and they're here with us speaking of the arts. Gentlemen.
Good morning.
Gentlemen, who came in?
It's the Double Robert Show.
Again.
Yeah. He handles the Pasatiempo, I handle the education. Hey, we're supposed to have a weekend of rain and storms. Did you hear that?
I know.
Educate us.
Okay, well, first of all, I do want to tell people something.
What?
If you have a young teen, high school student that wants to write, Generation Next, which is our teen section in the New Mexican, is looking for applications to start next semester. We're looking for a 500-word essay about why you want to work for Generation Next. You don't need previous experience, but you should be in high school and maybe have some high school newspaper experience. Applications should be sent to Ana Trujillo, care of the New Mexican, at P.O. Box 2048. There's a little brief about it in today's New Mexican in the local news section, so take a look and see. And also, I understand there's a book sale at the main library this weekend.
Yep.
Do you go to those things?
I have so many books that there's no reason for me. Like, I actually drop books off because
you
I
have
way too many.
You should have a book sale.
I do every once in a while.
Yeah.
So it's from 1 to 5 both days. Head on over there.
KSFR is going to have a big book sale in June.
Really?
Yep.
When?
Book and media sale. I don't remember the exact date, but we're going to certainly let people know about it.
Like media, like DVDs?
Yep.
Is that
an
annual
soft
event?
Horror, naughty movies?
No.
People wouldn't bring those, would they?
What?
Do you guys do that every year?
I think it's the first time we're doing it.
Cool.
And it should be fun. I'm donating a lot of my books.
Hey, what do you know about Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead?
I know very little. I know it's a twisted take on Charlie Brown, is what I know.
Right.
I know that...
It has a dog in it.
It has a dog in it. Actually, the Snoopy is dead in this play. And I believe Linus is addicted to drugs, and Lucy is in a mental institution.
It's amazing. But Warehouse 21, tonight there's a story in the New Mexican's Generation Next. It's 7 o'clock tonight and Saturday, 2 p.m. Sunday at Warehouse 21. And one more little thing, and then I'll let you fire in. The speak out in the teen section says this, and I want an answer from both of you because you got called on this on the air, Mary Charlotte.
Uh-oh.
If you could listen to only one song over and over, what would it be? And they get these teenagers to say things like, you know, Rhinestone Eyes by Gorillaz and One Love by Bob Marley. But what would be the song for you two if you had one song to hear over and over again?
I'm going
to
say, because it's good for all occasions, romance, comedy, heavy drinking, is Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
Oh my goodness.
Now that song is going to be stuck in your head for the rest of the day.
It already is. Well, I have to admit that I once made, back in the days where we all had cassette players in our car, I made a cassette with one song on it over and over again on both sides, and I listened to it for about a month.
What song was it?
Esclavo y Amo by Javier Solis.
Whoa.
That's out there.
So that would be your song?
I don't know. It was once. I haven't gotten tired of that song yet. Maybe I'll play it one of these days.
And you?
I'd pick a Dean Martin tune. I'm not sure which one, but it'd probably be something like How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? I love that tune. But then maybe I'd want a ballad because you'd get tired of like an upbeat song if you were depressed. Plus, yeah. By the way, if you were on a desert island, how would you even have like batteries or a thing to plug it in to hear the song over and over again?
You'd have a rechargeable solar-powered battery.
I think it's more like a hypothetical thought experiment than an actual practical reality.
Yeah,
you're probably right.
I'm just saying.
Okay, so what do we got going on Pasta Tempo this week?
Can I tell you one thing?
Absolutely.
Go right ahead.
Desiree Mays, with whom I do the opera series every year, will launch the 12th book in the Opera Unveiled series at 5:15 at the United Church of Santa Fe, which is off St. Michael's Drive near St. Vincent's, on Wednesday, the 21st of April. And her talk will outline the 5 operas of the upcoming Santa Fe opera season. And she will play music excerpts from the operas. The event is free. It's sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera Guild. And for more information, you can call 466-8222. And our opera series on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe will start on Monday, the 31st of May. I guess that's Memorial Day. And go for 5 Mondays in a row.
Great. Earth Day is coming up. Earth Day is what? This
Thursday.
It's next Thursday. There's tons of stuff going on in the rail yard. I don't have a lot of the stuff in front of me. I do know that the Santa Fe Farmers Market film series continues. The Markets Institute's film series continues on Wednesday with a double feature. And it's the event has moved from the old John Cocteau, the film museum, to the pavilion itself, the Farmers Market Pavilion itself.
Yeah.
So at 7 p.m. at the Farmers Market Pavilion, there is a double feature. And I know one of the films, and I can't remember the name, is a full-length documentary about people and backyard chickens. And then the second film is a short called Pollen Nation, which is a little 25-minute short about bees and the fact that a lot of them are disappearing.
I know. And what's even worse is my dogs in the little backyard I have, they chase the few bees that do come by in the summer. They try to eat them.
Yeah.
So, like, they're helping to diminish their ranks. I don't know what to do because I love my dogs.
Well, you know, they only eat the weak bees that need to be weeded out by natural selection.
Earth Day, Thursday the 22nd, Meow Wolf is opening an installation by Golda Blaze, a great young artist. There's a reception and an Earth Day masquerade party from 3 to 9 p.m. there at Meow Wolf at 1800 2nd Street. You call 570-1756 for more info. And that exhibit is up only through April 24th, so it's a quickie.
Nice.
What else? Oh, also on the 22nd, Why Is Fool New Mexico? They're having a free puppet workshop because they're going to do this big May Day event.
Oh, boy.
So they're making these big, giant puppets from 4 to 8 p.m.
So nice.
At Weisfuel Studio, 2778D Agua Fria Street. You can call them at 992-2588 or visit wisefuelnewmexico.org.
And they're mostly women group, which I like because they're my favorite kind of ladies when they're women.
When they're women?
Yeah, that's nice.
When they're...
On another note, Felines and Friends is in urgent need of volunteers. All kinds of for their mobile adoption volunteers, for their adoption center caretakers, all
you
kinds
know,
of things, and or
I'm
helping transport kitties to one of their vets. They're a wonderful organization. They do so much for controlling cat populations, for getting cats adopted, for taking care of sick cats. So leave a message at 316-2281. That's 505-316-2281. Or send an email to askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com.
We like kitties in the morning.
There's an opening today, tonight actually.
What?
Excuse me, at the New Mexico Museum of Art on Palace Avenue. It's called Art on the Edge, 2010.
Oh, we have a story about that in today's
paper.
Oh, yeah, we did an interview on that on the show this week.
That's right. There's 7 artists.
Yeah, something like that.
And it's a biennial. They had one in 08. This is the second one. And there's a reception from 5:30 to 7:30. It's a free public opening.
That's right.
Hosted by the Women's Board of the Museum of New Mexico.
Okay.
That's tonight, 5:30 to 7:30. And that's up till, I think, like May 14th or 15th or something.
And one of the people who was in that show we had on the air, and she went to Antarctica for a month and took photographs there, which are nice.
They're gorgeous photos.
The Santa Fe Rotary Foundation is going to honor its Distinguished Artist of the Year Saturday night.
Yay.
At the St. Francis Auditorium at 4 p.m., followed by a reception at Linda Durham's Art Gallery on 2nd Street. You got to pay to get in. It is Jerry R. West, and Rob DeWalt profiled him very nicely in today's Pasta Tiempo. Take a look, see. I've been to some of those Rotary Foundation events, and they're always a lot of fun. April on Paris is still happening with our buddy Stadu and Charles over at Vinesse on Sunday.
That's right. This is what, the second Sunday of
Paris
of four or
in
so.
Winter, 4 o'clock. Oh,
one thing about the Jerry West. There's actually a public reception from 2 to 4 p.m. on Saturday. Then there's the Rotary thing at 4 o'clock. Then there's a reception for attendee for Rotary for the event.
That's right.
From 5:30 to 7:30.
That complicates
things.
Yeah.
So if you've been to the
read the story.
The thing is the Rotary has to charge admission because they're having some very nice food and things like that.
Yeah.
And then after that you can go. But before that you can go for free to the Linda Durham at.
Yes, from 2 to 4 p.m. you can go and see the show for free at the Linda Durham Contemporary Gallery on 2nd Street.
On 2nd Street. And Jerry West is a wonderful artist and wonderful person. We had him on the air this week, too.
He built my bedroom in 1982.
What about the rest of your house? What, did you just live in one little bedroom?
No, it was Steve Martin's old house on Upper Canyon Road. And when I moved here from Texas, they had to build an addition because there were four of us growing up in the house. So Jerry was friends with my father and my stepmother at the time, photographer Joan Myers. And he ended up building the addition to the house.
Huh.
So I've known Jerry for 28 years, but I haven't seen him in 20.
That's amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you should go. I just got a note that the book and media fair of KSFR is on Friday night, June 18th, and all day Saturday, June 19th. They're seeking book donations and media donations. You can call 428-1379 for more information.
Oh, I got some books I'll bring over to KSFR.
That's
going to
be
idea.
A fun day.
Well, maybe I'll run them over on the 22nd and help you out with your fun drive.
If
hey, you know what? Somebody just told me that on Saturday mornings, I just canceled Turner Classic Movies. Like, I downsized my cable to save money.
Mm-hmm.
So I got rid of Turner, and now they're doing on Saturday mornings the Bowery Boys movies. This is a fine thing to happen to me.
Well, you can come over to my house. I didn't cancel it.
Do you like the Bowery Boys?
I don't like early mornings, so you can just sort of sneak in and watch them. I'll be asleep.
Sneak in her house. This is great. I get bit by her dogs. Those are great. I mean, Leo Gorsi.
You'll get licked by them.
Well, that's true. That's stuff. Those guys were terrific. What kind of covers is this, by the way?
That's Jerry West on a horse.
It looks like
wearing
Don Quixote.
A missile.
Okay, Hot Wax. Artist members of the Encaustic Art Institute will have an exhibition and an opening reception tomorrow, the 17th of April, from 1 to 6 at the Encaustic Art Institute on 18 Country Road 55A, General Goodwin Road in Cerrillos. For more information, you can go to eainm.com or call 505-424-6487. Encaustic is a 2,000-year-old process of painting with pigmented wax from the Greek word meaning to heat or burn.
Well, those grapes were pretty hot. They used to go around just wearing bed sheets, which they could take off easily when they wanted to go swimming.
So, you know, it's kind of hard to get in and out of Europe, and you can actually still get into Iceland, but it's harder to get out because of the winds.
In and out of Europe. I can't even get in and out of my Jeep Wrangler these days.
But at Mike's Music Exchange tonight at 7 p.m., that's out in El Dorado, Uni with, and I'm going to say his name wrong, but John Unarsson, Icelandic music. They're going to be playing over there at 7 o'clock. There's a cover charge. And that's out there. Where is it in El Dorado?
El Dorado.
Where is it? Oh, 7 Caliente Road. You call 466-2782. You can find out more info. They also have a website.
A website.
Yeah. Do you like drag queens? Who likes drag queens?
Raise your hand.
Raise your hand if
you
like drag queens.
We're all raising our hands.
Okay. I believe tonight and tomorrow night at Silver Starlight Lounge at Rainbow Vision Santa Fe is a show called Infamous with Victoria Vale and Queens of Drag. 9 p.m. It's 8:30 p.m. on Friday, 9 p.m. on Saturday. That's at 500 Rodeo Road. There is a charge, but a percentage of the proceeds are going to benefit Kitchen Angels in Santa Fe.
Now, I don't want to be politically or sexually incorrect, but you always allow me to open my mouth on the show, and I appreciate it. Drag queens are very amusing, for lack of a better term, and I really like it. And Artemis is back in town, I heard, by the way.
Yeah.
He's terrific. But how come we don't have any female performers dressing up like men, like Marlene
Dietrich? Drag kings?
We do?
Yeah.
Who's our drag king?
There's going to be some at this show, I believe.
Well, why didn't you say so? Well,
it's not as common for whatever reason.
I mean,
reason.
Don't you think like Mary Charlotte and Honey Harris and a bunch of those like tuxedos like Marlena Dietrich wore with top hats would look really good?
I think one of the things is that women can dress any way they want already in society,
that's
so you're
right.
Not breaking as much of a taboo.
That's right. They can undress any way they want too, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. Dry Kings aren't as prevalent in Santa Fe as they are in bigger cities.
Yeah, tell me there's Dry Kings there. Maybe I will go.
The College of Santa Fe Performing Arts Department presents the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Directed by Peter Zapp. 8 o'clock tonight. 4736511 runs for 2 weekends. What do you know about this musical?
I know nothing about this musical.
It's a hilarious tale of overachiever's angst, chronicling the experience of 6 adolescent outsiders vying for the spelling championship of a lifetime. This show's Tony Award-winning creative team has created the unlikeliest of hit musicals about the unlikeliest of heroes, a quirky yet charming cast of outsiders. Why are people who can spell considered outsiders? What about people who are really into punctuation and proper grammar?
I know. I mean,
she's staring at me.
Should we be considered outsiders? I think we're the ultimate insiders
spell.
Because we can write standard English.
I know.
Well, as long as you can spell.
We're never going to get into the tea, to the
she's
tea party.
She's staring at me again.
Because we
here
can
we
spell.
Go.
What
That's
else?
Why I like the Bowery Boys. Malapropisms galore.
Launch Project is having an opening on the 22nd called Water, Works on Paper and Sculpture. By Eric Tillinghast, who's also a part of the Art on the Edge exhibit. So Launch Project's at 355 East Palisade. Boy, he's busy. He's actually got another show opening the 30th at CCA.
Mm.
So that is Thursday at 6 to 7 p.m., and that show is up at Launch Project's through May 16th.
Did you ever see that movie with Marlena Dietrich in the beginning where she's skinny dipping with her friends?
No.
That's because you're making it up.
No, it's some movie. She's in a gorilla suit later on, I'm telling you. Blonde Venus. She's in a gorilla suit. It's hot beyond compare. But first, she's swimming nude with her girlfriends, and these guys come across. It's terrific. I was just thinking that. International.
You know, what's amazing is that there's just an endless supply of movies like that, and you mention one every week.
What are you talking about? I just barely come on the show for a few minutes.
You mentioned skinny dipping a couple of weeks ago, too.
Indeed.
Well, it's getting to be that kind of year, that kind of weather.
It's getting to be that kind of year, ladies and gentlemen.
International folk dancing, 6:30 p.m. Israeli dancing, 8 to 10 p.m. What night? Sunday. Where? Odd Fellows Hall. Where's that? 1125 Sirius Road. How much is it? Very inexpensive.
It's fun to dance in that place. 473-0955.
It is fun to dance in that place, and it'd be very interesting to dance to Israeli music.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like minimal money. You can't mention money at KSFR unless you're trying to raise it for KSFR, which we'll be doing on Thursday.
And guess what two kinds of animals we're going to be talking about on Thursday?
Ducks and
dogs
swans.
And cats?
Yes.
Dogs and cats.
Meow. And I own both, so I can defend both.
You know, you know what tonight is? Tonight is the Human Rights Gala at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center.
That's correct.
Guest of honor is activist Stuart Milk, nephew, I think?
Of Harvey
Milk. There's going to be dancing, silent live auctions, a dinner. Things kick off at 5:30 at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. Tickets are steep, but it's a fundraiser for Santa Fe HRA. It's one of the major fundraisers this year. You can get tickets at the Lenzic, 988-1234.
Hey, have we talked about Nuestra Música?
No, we haven't. There's a story in today's Pasa, though.
Yeah, Nuestra Música, which is local, traditional, northern New Mexican folk music, is on, and folk music as it has evolved into the present day and been updated in certain ways, too, at the Lenzic tomorrow, Saturday night. What time's it at?
7 p.m. There's no charge for seniors, but there's charges for other people.
But the tickets are inexpensive, and seniors get in free, which is just wonderful.
Yeah.
If you want to teach your kids something about the constellations, Mike Indiana Bones McCartney and his puppet Draco, or Draco, D-R-A-C-O, are going to be telling stories about the constellations as well as the other stars. 6:30 p.m., Tuesday, Southside Branch of the Santa Fe Public Library. It's going to be free. And then he'll be doing it again 6:30 Wednesday at the main branch downtown. So two events, 6:30 Tuesday at Jaguar Drive branch of the library, Wednesday downtown on Washington Avenue. Indiana Bones telling stories about the stars and the constellations. Did you used to like to go to those, planetariums where they have the stars?
You know, I never liked them. I always fell asleep.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like hearing about Orion and those other characters?
No.
I thought that stuff was great.
No, I was never fascinated by that.
That's interesting. I always liked looking at the heavenly bodies through my telescope when I used to live in New York City. There were quite a few because the gals across the way were all members of a volleyball team. They used to come home at night. And anyway, so what else?
Skinny dip, perhaps?
No, not in New York. Where are you going to go there? Central Park could get eaten by the piranhas. Play and Tragedy at a site in prehistoric Arizona. Boy, that sounds riveting. George J. Gummerman is going to be speaking at 6 o'clock about this topic at the Hotel Santa Fe. A portion of the proceeds will benefit the Archaeological Conservancy. And that's the same night, by the way, Monday night, not Sunday night, where we have an all-ages swing dance at Oddfellows Hall. 8 o'clock, lessons at 7, very cheap to get in. Hey, what time is it?
It is 8:55.
8:55. You know, every Wednesday over there at Warehouse 21, they're having this Danza Mexica Dancers. It's a community dance event from 6:30 to 9 p.m. It's free. It's in the rail yard. Go. Every Wednesday.
Nice.
And tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, Camp Lovewave right here on KSFR. Taryn Lovewave will be interviewing former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, about his best-selling book, American Conspiracies. And at the end of the conversation, Jesse tells his story about meeting the Dalai Lama.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's tomorrow on KSFR.
Body slam.
That's serious business.
Bill Hearn playing country music. Love that guy. 7:30, Thursday night, La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda. It's free. Head on down there and dance. I like that place a lot, except the dance floor is too small. Once like 18 people get on it. Tonight at the Or House is Jim Almond, 2:30. That's today. No cover. Pop in there for a 4 o'clock beer. Maybe I'll see you and you can buy me one. Saturday night, music-wise, you got the Dead Dub Society doing reggae at Cortathon, 9 o'clock, followed by DJ Soul Embassy Sound System, Mute Swan, and The Infector. Meanwhile, on Saturday also, you want to hang out. Pat Malone's with Whitney Carroll at La Posada, 8 o'clock. And the Jakes are down at the mineshaft in Madrid. Savor, Cuban music, San Francisco Street Bar and Grill. We're talking Saturday night, 8 o'clock, no cover.
Not to mention Tradiciones at the El Dorado tonight from 8:30 to 11:30.
Oh.
You know, on Wednesday, there's a great musician who's been in town for a while named John Courage. And he's leaving us. And what seems to be a long string of farewell concerts continues, but it's actually on Wednesday at the Cowgirl is a song swap with Stephanie Hatfield and Bill Palmer.
Great.
And that's at 9 p.m. on Wednesday over there at the Cowgirl. There's a small cover.
You know what? I like these people that have farewell tours, and I don't blame them if they come back, because I'd like to see people leave and spread their wings elsewhere and then still come back because they belong here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying John Courage will do that, but like Artemis did it, and I'm really happy.
Yeah.
I know a lot of other people that leave and come back, and I just think it's terrific.
I do too.
Leave and come back. I'm not leaving. One of these days, I might come back.
Well, I hope you don't leave. And by the way, Son Como Son is at the Cooperage Restaurant in Albuquerque for all you salseros who like to travel down to Albuquerque, or perhaps for some of our Albuquerque or Rio Rancho listeners. And they're a terrific group that plays Cuban style and other kinds of styles salsa.
Pretty good.
Winona Judd is playing at the Tiwaba Grand Ballroom at Buffalo Thunder Resort.
Is that the mom?
I don't know.
Ashley's the daughter.
Is that?
Yeah, because Ashley was nude in a movie. I
think you're right. That's at the Pauake Pueblo tonight at 8 p.m.
Only you.
At the Buffalo Thunder Resort and Casino. You can get tickets at tickets.com there, if there's any left.
You know why I like three of us here?
Why?
Because you can actually do the announcements while I do clowning and sing.
and what am I supposed to do?
It takes the edge off.
You're the straight woman. And I'm the straight man. What are you?
No comment.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org podcasting.
Let's touch her at the same time.
At santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services.
Tickle her.
You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org, if I didn't say that already.
Beautiful.
Robert Knott and Rob DeWalt
I'll
are with
next
the
off.
New Mexican. Robert Knott will not be here with us next week, but Rob DeWalt will be with us.
Yes.
The Pasa Tiempo comes out every Friday in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and it's just great to have you guys on the air.
Thank you.
It's available online now, too.
Oh, boy, that's right, but you got to subscribe, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's World Radio.
Okay. Let's put on our
clothes. Thanks for having us, Charlotte.
Hasta la vista, baby. Ciao.
Oh, boy.